Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Tes Vav. We begin at the two dots about 8 lines down from the top, Tes Vav and Aleph. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to finish the first perek in Beitza and start the second perek. So we begin quoting the Mishnah at the two dots. Avalo sandal hamesumor. You're not allowed to send somebody a cleated type of a shoe, this sandal hamesumor, and the Gemara will now explain why. Sandal hamesumor, my time alo, why can't you send somebody this sandal hamesumor on Yontif? So the Gemara says, Mishum Maisa Shahoya. As Rashi reminds us, we discussed this yesterday already, in the Gemara in Shabbos, it tells us about a tragic event that occurred when we were being persecuted and people were hiding in the bell caves. And it turned out one time that they thought that the enemy was approaching and it led to a stampede. And unfortunately, because people were wearing these cleated type of shoes, these spike type of shoes, it caused more damage than they would have had from the enemy. So therefore, the rabbi said, we're not going to wear them on Shabbos or Yontif. And therefore, you can't send them to somebody on Shabbos or Sunday because they won't be able to wear them. Maisa Shahayat, that's the reason why. Amar Abaye. Sandal Masumar also lenalo. The rabbi said that you're not allowed to go and wear it. However, umutu latatl, it's not muktza. So the Gemara says also lenalo. We understand why you're not allowed to wear it. Mishum ma'isa shoya, because of this story that we just described from the Gemara in Shabbos. However, umutu latatlo, it must be that it's not considered muktza. As Rashi says, it is considered a kli, and a kli is not considered muktza. And therefore, midiktani ein mishalchen. How do we know that it's not considered muktza? Because our Mishnah said you're not allowed to send it. Now, this hokadaitach also l'taltalo. If in fact you weren't allowed to go and handle it because it was muktza, so then hashtalu tutuli also mishalchen mibay. Would you have to tell me that you're not allowed to go and send it if it was us that even handle it? So obviously, it must be that you admitted to handle it. So it's like a klishim alachduli, as Rashi says, and therefore you'd be allowed to use it l'tzorch gufo or mekomo. You needed to bang in something on Shabbos that you're allowed to bang. You wanted to crack open a walnut. Let's say. So you'd be allowed to use this sandal mishumer for that purpose. So it's not muktza, but you wouldn't be allowed to wear it because of this ma'isa shoya and the gezerah that the rabbi set up. Then we said likewise in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to send to somebody below minal she'eno tofur. You're not allowed to go and send them a shoe that is not fully sewn up. So when it says pshita, obviously it can't be worn, and the underlying principle is that you're only allowed to send things on Yontif that they're allowed to use. So if it's not sewn up, of course you can't use it. So why would you think that you can send it? Pshita, it should be obvious that you can't do this. So it says lo. Nitzucha, you need this over here. The afagad dinokit besichi. Rashi says that there is sedos kitano shalates, little wooden pegs. Or alternatively, the Yeshomer Rashi says in a second shot, tofer shnei tefiros b'emso, that there were two threads that were sewn together in the middle, ushtayim b'roshu, ushtayim b'ikvo, and there were two at the head and two at the foot, so it was somewhat usable under duress. So therefore, you might have thought that you're allowed to send it because it could be used under duress, either because of these pegs or because it was a little bit sewn together. So the bottom line is, if it's a mino she'eino tofer, it's not really sewn together properly, so then it's not something that can be used on yontif, and therefore you can't send it. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aflo Mino Lovo, and he said you can't send a white shoe because it needs to be professionally blackened. Tanya, that's what the Braisa tells us is a Tosefta in the first parak, where it says, Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bishochar, he allows you to send a blackened shoe, the Oser Belovo, but he doesn't allow you to send a white shoe. They didn't apparently wear the white shoes, and they would go and color them. So Mipnei Shetzorech Bitzas Hagir, that's the girsa that we have. Others have the girsa Bitzas Ha'uman, that it requires blackening by a professional artisan, by a shoemaker. Rashi says, gir is min karka mashler. It's a certain type of dirt that is like a coloring agent, so it would blacken the shoes. He says the word bitzas means called dover hanilush, something that can be, so to say, kneaded. The nas of it, it becomes thick after kneading it, and that's why we have like a swamp. It's called a bitza. And therefore, it is something that requires still an action to be done to it. It's not usable if you send it white, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It requires the blackening. Nobody would wear it white, and therefore, it's not allowed to be sent. The Gemara continues and says, Rav Yossi Oser B'shochar. Rav Yossi doesn't even let you send a blackened one. Why? B'nei Shetzorech L'tzachtzecho. It needs to be smoothed out. Rashi says L'tzachtzecho means L'hachliko. It means to smooth it out. As was explained in a moment in the Gemara, Kedem Farish L'kame, Shebemokom hayu hofchim mokom bosor mi'bachutz u'mokom seyar mi'bifnim. What Rashi is telling us here now is what the Gemara is going to say, that when you have a piece of leather. So there's two aspects, if you wish, to the leather. There was the side of the hide that was facing out of the animal, which is the hair side of the animal. Then there's the side of the hide that was facing in towards the animal. That's called the meaty side of the animal. Now this hide on the outside is smooth, but on the inside, the side that was connected to the basar inside, so there are little pieces of tissue that are still attached. and that needs to be litzachsecho, that needs to be smoothed out. So Rav Yossi is saying that you can't send the blackened one because you need to smooth it out. But he's not arguing anymore, says we continue the Gemara of a low plegi, he's not arguing with the first opinion that seems to say that you can send a blackened shoe, because they're talking about different types of ways that the shoes were made. Mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei. As Rashi continues and he says, it depends on the nature of the town that you're in, what they used to do. The Gemara continues and explains, basrei demar, in the opinion of the area where Rabbi Yehuda lived, the bisra litachas, where open to the surface was the side that was of the hide that was towards the inside of the body, so there were lots of little pieces, as Rashi says, lifnim hilkach ein sarich litzachzecho, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda said, matir b'shocher, because there's nothing that needs to be done. This side that would normally need to be smoothed out was, so to say, covered up by the sole of the shoe. And therefore, in that area of Rabbi Yehuda, b'yasrei demar, bisra l'tachas. However, Rabbi Yossi is also b'shocher, b'yasrei demar, in his area, bisra l'el. The outer part of the shoe was the part that needed to be smoothed out, because that's the side that was having little pieces of flesh on it, and it couldn't be worn without smoothing it out. So therefore, each one was holding the halacha exactly the same, but each one was commenting on what was common in their places. If you needed to smooth out, so then it wasn't ready to be used yet. And that was Rav Yossi's shtar. In his town, it still needed to be smoothed out. That's why he said, you're not allowed to send it, because it can't be worn yet. In the town of Rav Yehuda, they turned it the other way around. So the part that would need to be smoothed out was covered up, and therefore didn't need to be smoothed out. So therefore, he allowed you to send the blackened shoe, which was the hide facing in a way that it didn't need to be smoothed out. But each would agree that if you sent it the way the other town had it, if Rav Yehuda would be in the town of Rav Yossi, he would agree with Rav Yossi's din. And if Rav Yossi would be in the town of Yehuda, he would agree with his din. In other words, there was no machlokas between them. They're just talking about different circumstances. Then the Mishnah concluded and said, Zakla, this is a rule. Kol sheni osan bo biyomtiv. If you can benefit from it on yomtiv, then you're allowed to send it. Now, we normally don't have general rules in the Mishnah, so the Gemara is really going to question now. Rav Sheshis, Sharul Hulu Rabbanon L'Shaduri Tfilin B'Yomatova. Based upon this klal, Rav Sheshis said you're allowed to go and send tefillin to somebody on Yontif. Now, of course, on Yontif, we don't wear tefillin. So Abaya questions this. Amalei Abaya. V'hai anan t'nan kol sheni yosun bo b'yomtov mishalchen oso. Wait a second. Why would you be allowed to send tefillin on Yontif? We don't wear tefillin on Yontif. The tefillin are an os, and Yontif is an os. And therefore, as the Gemara in Erevin says, Yotzu Shabbosos v'yomim tovim shein atzman os. Rashi brings down, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif because we don't need an extra os. We have Shabbos and Yontif. Os hi li'olam. B'niu v'neichem. So therefore, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos or Yontif. So why would you be allowed to send tefillin on Yontif? So Gemara says, Hochi Kamar. This is what the Gemara is telling us over here. The Mishnah is saying, Kol Sheni Yosan Bo Bechol, something which if you send on Yontif, they would get benefited from that item on a weekday, as is, without anything extra being done to it, Mishal Chen Oso B'Yontif. Then you're allowed to send it on Yontif. As Rashi explains, the Hai B'Yom Tov that we said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to send it on Yontif, that's what our Mishnah is coming to include, Lasuye Tfilin, the E Nami, because technically you're to wear it on Yontif, there's no Isser involved. And that's why you're allowed to send the tefillin, and the person is getting tremendous benefit. Oh, wow, you sent me a pair of tefillin, you must really like me. And therefore, the hana of the gift is what allows you to give it on Yontif, because technically you could wear it on Yontif, albeit you're not mechuyev to wear it on Yontif. As opposed to, if you send somebody a sandal mesumar, you're not allowed to wear it on Yontif. And therefore, even though he may get some benefit that you sent it to him, but since he can't use it on Yontif technically, that's the difference between you can't send a sandal mesumer, but you could send a pair of tefillin. That's the way Rashi understands this. And Tosfos expands on that, and he says, with the sandal mesumer, it's also l'shalcho, the isharis l'shalcho, also l'nalo. You may come to wear it. That's the problem, according to Tosos. So that's why you can't send it, even though he'll get enjoyment out of receiving it, even though he can't wear it, because he may come to wear it. Whereas the tefillin, he gets enjoyment out of getting it, but worse comes to worse, if he comes to wear it, there is no isura, the leko isura, as opposed to the sandal mesumar, the ika isura. So that's what Gemara says, what our Mishnah is telling us by this extra klal, kol sheni osan bo b'yantiv, it means kol sheni osan bo b'chol, mishalchen oso b'yantiv. Since we talked about tefillin, Amar Abaye, tefillin, since you mentioned tefillin, hov also liyodan, since this din came to our discussion, name of Bumilsa, I'll tell you another din about tefillin. For example, hoya baba derech, the tefillin berosha, if a person's traveling on the road, and he has wearing tefillin, v'shok olav chama, and the sun has set, Rashi understands that this is on Erev Shabbos. So you have a problem. You're not allowed to wear the tefillin on Shabbos, so miniach yodu aleihem, because you don't want to carry the tefillin, you can't carry them, and you can't take them off, because then you'd be carrying them, and you can't leave them out there, because it's, you know, it's going to get ruined. So therefore, miniach yodu aleihem, you just cover them up, Rashi explains, shol yirum, so people shouldn't see that you're wearing tefillin. And you're wearing it, so therefore it's not a problem of carrying it. Because you're wearing it, so to say, in an unusual fashion, and therefore, because of the bizayon to the tefillin, you're allowed to go continue wearing them in this fashion. And you can continue wearing them until you get to your house, all the way to your house. Similarly, if you were in the Beis HaMedrash, Rashi says the Beis HaMedrash was in the fields, the Einu Mishtamer, and therefore it's not a safe place. Utfilin Baroshin, you're wearing your tefillin. Vikidi Shalav Hayom, and the day is set. Tosus points out, we use a different lashon over here. Vishokol of Chama, we said before while you're traveling. And here, Vikidi Shalav Hayom, so Tosus wants to suggest that we're not talking about Shabbos over here. We're just talking about a regular weekday. In any event, Niach Yodu Aleihem, the reason why you can't carry them is because you're busy, you're afraid that they're going to come off and fall off in some way, you're not going to pay them proper attention. In any event, Niach Yodu Aleihem, again, you're allowed to continue wearing them, you put your hand over them, again, until you come to your house. So whether they're talking about Erev Shabbos or not, the bottom line is, these two cases, the Gemara is telling us you're allowed to continue wearing them all the way to your house. Then the Gemara says, "Masir Ravuna Brei de Ravika." Ravuna Brei de Ravika says, "Wait a second." The following Brisa says, "You can't wear them all the way to your house. You're only allowed to wear them to the first house in the city." Again, the Beis Medrash is outside the city. That's why you can allow to wear it to your house according to the first Brisa. But now we're going to bring down a Brisa that says you can't wear it all the way to your house. You only wear it to the first house in the city. And similarly, if you were walking on the road, traveling on the road, you can only wear it, according to this new Brisa, until you reach the first house. Not like the first Brisa all the way to the house. So this is what Rav Huna, Brei de Ravika, asks. This Brisa says, you were traveling on the road, Erev Shabbos, and you had the tefillin on your head, and it's now Erev Shabbos, it's about to become Shabbos, not to your house, until you get to the house that's right next to the wall of the city. In other words, you can only bring it into the city, but not beyond that. And likewise, whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, and now you're going to have to go and take it off normally, but it's not safe to take it off for whatever the reason. Again, you cover it up, but only so you get to the first house near to the shul. So how come in the first brisa you can carry it to Lebeiso, and the second brisa it's only to the house, to the house that's Samuch Leir, the first house, and not all the way to your house? Brises seem to be contradictory to each other. Someone says, low kashya. They're not. They're not really contradictory to each other, because it all depends. Now, the gears that we have is ha de low mintra. The first case is talking about where it is watched, and that's why you can only bring it until it's safe. You can only bring it until the first house in the city. And the second case, where it's not watched over there, it's not going to be protected, ha de low mintra. Since it's not going to be protected in the first house, you're allowed to bring it all the way to your house. Moore says, wait a second. If you're talking about a case where it's not going to be protected, my area barosho, then why are you telling me only if you're wearing it? The law would be, afilu machson bi'ara, even if you found them on the ground, you'd be allowed to go and pick them up, because after all, they're going to be lying there, bibizayin. So why are you telling me if it's not in a safe place, you can only, if you're wearing it, afilu machson bi'ara, nami, you should be allowed to go and pick it up, even if it's on the ground, never mind that you're not wearing it, because the tefillin can't lie in Bizayon. Dotanan, because we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos, also in Erevin, hamotzi tefillin, if a person finds tefillin. So you're not allowed to pick them up and carry them, because it's Shabbos. So machnison zug zug, you wear them, and you bring them in one pair at a time. Rashi says, nosim birosho echad v'echad bizro. You put one on the shorat, shelyat, one on the shorosh, just like you would wear him, kidera chanosa b'chol. And that's how you bring him in, machnisan. And then if there's more, v'choz v'holech, v'lovesh zug acher, machnisan. That's what you do, to get all the children in, because you can't carry them, but you want to bring them into a protected area. So if you're dealing here with an unprotected area, why did you tell me only if you're wearing them, can you bring it all the way in? Even if you're not wearing them, you just find them, you can bring them all the way in. So Gemara says it's also not a problem, it's not a stira, lo kasha. It all depends. Again, the girsa that we have over here is hal d'mintura, machas ganve or machas klave, but on the side it brings down that the more correct gears would be ha de lo mintra. It's not protected from ganovim or from dogs. In other words, the ganovim are going to desecrate them, steal them, and sell them, rip them. Who knows what they're going to do with them? Or the dogs are going to eat them or tear them apart. As opposed to ha de mintra, machmas klave, it's one area is not protected at all. The other case is talking about where it's protected from the dogs, the lo mintra, machmas gande, but it is not protected because of the ganovim. The ganovim are going to go and take it. So I might have thought, mal detemo rov listim yisrael ninu, since the majority of this area was Jewish, so therefore the majority of the people that would be nebuch ganovim would be Jews, below mezalzlibu, I might have thought that they're not going to be mezalzel, and therefore you only have to be concerned that there's dogs there that are going to be ripping it apart. But you don't have to be concerned about Jewish robbers ripping it apart, kamash v'lam, no, that even there, you're have to be concerned that the Jewish robbers are going to nebuch not take care of it in the proper fashion. They're going to treat it with a bizayon, and they're going to desecrate it, and therefore you're allowed to be picking it up. So the difference in the cases was where you don't have to be concerned at all from the robbers and the dogs, versus you do have to be concerned with the dogs. So the dogs you can protect in one way, to the robbers you have to protect in another way. As Rashi says, Yashminin Abayi, the whole of a low mintra, machmas gande, meachar shehem birosho, yolichem adbeso. So in that situation, you'll have to bring it all the way to your house. Avalumotzum shom bemokum shem nishmorim mina klovim, lo yaziza mimikomim. Then you don't have to move them because if the dogs are protected from destroying it, so mistama, the Jewish ganavim, aren't going to go and destroy it or desecrate it. So again, the distinction that Rashi seems to be making here is if you find them in a place that's protected from the dogs, you can rely upon the fact that the listim won't destroy it. But if you are wearing them, so since you already have them, so then we don't take any chances, and we're concerned that maybe the thieves will nebuch go and desecrate them, so then you're allowed to take it all the way to your house. That's the way Rashi seems to be understanding this chiluk between them. And with this, we conclude the beautiful first parak, Hadron Lecha Beitza, Hadron Lecha Beitza, Hadron Lecha Beitza, and we turn to Tesvav Amidbeis, and we begin the second parak. And we begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Yom Tov Shecholios Erev Shabbos, when Yom Tov is on Friday. And this is going to introduce us to the concept of preparing an Erev Tavshilin so that you can cook on Yom Tov, which is Thursday and or Friday, and prepare for Shabbos, your food, without being a problem that Shabbos is not allowed to be prepared for on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is not allowed to be mechem for Shabbos. And we'll bring rayas from Psukim for this. So therefore, we're going to have to learn about an Erev Tavshilin. Why is it called an Erev Tavshilin? Because it mixes over here. That's one of the answers that the Mefarshim give. It mixes over here. You're cooking Yom Tov and Shabbos. Or it mixes your cooking of Erev Yom Tov and Yom Tov to allow you to properly have food prepared for Shabbos. So we'll discuss more of these Psukim in a moment. Let's continue with the Mishnah. So when Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos, Yom Tov is Friday. In Chutz Laaretz, the same thing would apply if it's a Thursday, Friday, Yom Tov. So the din is, lo yevashel batchila miyom tov l'Shabbos. You're not allowed to just stop cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now, midaraisa, you're allowed to. And when we get to the Gemara, we'll explain why midarabban, and the rabbi said you're not allowed to. That's a simple understanding here. So, lo yevashel batchila miyom tov l'Shabbos, midarabban, you're not allowed to go cook on Yom Tov specifically for Shabbos. However, but you're allowed to go cook all you want for Yontif, and no, v'im hosir, if anything is left over for Shabbos, hosir l'Shabbos, you can use the leftovers for Shabbos. This doesn't mean you can just go cook all you want and wink, wink, say it's for Yontif, and you're cooking an hour before Shabbos, and you're cooking up a storm, and there's no way you could eat this all on Yontif. So again, we'll go through the Gemara to explain what the Erev Tavshilin actually allows you to do. But min ha-din, you're allowed to go cook on Yontif for Shabbos, and therefore, mevashel hu l'Yontif, and whatever's left over, you can use for Shabbos. Now, therefore, to make sure that you don't go against this midirabonon din of cooking on Yom Tov specifically for Shabbos, for osa tavsho, you do and make the Erev Tavshilin, may Erev Yom Tov. You do this on Erev Yom Tov, v'somech alav l'Shabbos. And this is what allows you to go cook on Yom Tov within certain parameters for Shabbos. Now, what does this Erev Tavshilin consist of, this tavshil? So b'shama yomrim shnei tavshilin, you have to cook two things. It's enough to go and cook one thing. And they both agree that how do you count these two things? Vishavin, if it's a dog, a fish, or beitz sholov, and you have an egg on top of it, that's considered shein shnei tavshilin. That's not considered one fish egg dish, but that's a fish and an egg, two dishes. So that would even satisfy Beis Shammai's requirement to have shnei tavshilin. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, if you made the Erev Tavshilin, but somebody ate it before you started cooking on Yom Tov. Once it's already cooked all for Yom Tov Shabbos, you can eat the Erev Tavshilin, albeit, as we'll see, the minhag is to go and eat it on Shabbos. Use it as Lecha Mishnah. Some have the minhag to use the Erev Tavshilin, let's say for Lecha Mishnah, and then eat it by Shalosh Shudis. So that's a beautiful minhag. Arvin mitzvah b'mitzvah. We want to show this was such a beautiful mitzvah. We want to continue doing a mitzvah with it. In any event, if somebody ate it, though, acholo, or shavar, or somehow it got lost, your dog ate it, and you didn't yet cook with the Erev Tavshilin for Yom to Shabbos, so that it depends. You're not allowed to cook Lo Yavash Lo B'Tchila unless there's something left. So if it was designated as an Erev Tavshilin, but you didn't get to use it before it was either eaten or lost, so then guess what? You don't have an Erev Tavshilin. However, v'imshir min u'kolshu, if anything is left, the Gemara will discuss what is exactly, does it mean anything left? We'll see it means a kezayis, even though it uses the lashon kolshu, it means a kezayis, so somech alav l'Shabbos. As long as the kezayis is left, then you're still allowed to use it as an Erev Tashilin and cook on Yom Tifor Shabbos. So the Gemara starts off and asks us, minoah hanimili, where exactly do we know from Sukkim that an Erev Tashilin is required? And this, of course, is very funny. And Rashi points this out. And Rashi says, lav dafka mikroi. Yolif. It's not actually learned out from Sukkim, because the Erev Tavshilin is a Din D'Rabbanan. So, therefore, V'hochi kol m'boile, what the Gemara is asking is over here, Ahecha asmechuha Rabbanan. What's the pasuk that's an asmachta? It's an allusion to this idea, but it's not really the source, because you can't find a pasuk as a source of a Din D'Rabbanan. But what the Gemara is asking is, what made the rabbis utilize this concept of an Erev Tavshilin? What gave them that idea? What pasuk was it in the smachta on? We'll have two different pasukim. The first one is from Shmuel. Amish Shmuel tells us, because the pasuk says the Omar Kro, Zocher is Yom HaShabbos Likacho. Don't forget Shabbos. Remember Shabbos and go and be Makadish to Shabbos. Sanctify the Shabbos. In other words, Zochreyu, remember it, because Me'acha Shabbo Lashkicho, because it would be very easy to forget the Shabbos. Why is that? Rashi explains, Kishabo Yontif, Be'er Shabbos. When Yontif is on Friday, Karv Shabbos, Lishtakeach, Machmas Yontif. Because you may come, you're so busy preparing for Yontif, you're going to forget about preparing food for Shabbos. Shemar bebesudas hayom, you're so busy dealing with the Yontif meals, ve'ino miniach l'Shabbos, k'dei kvodo. And you're going to use just a couple of leftovers for Shabbos. You're going to say, oh, well, we ran out of meat, we ran out of chicken, so we have Cheerios. That's not right. And therefore, v'yishircha kosev l'zochro, the pasuk, the asmachta, zochro is yom haShabbos. Don't forget the Shabbos. On a regular weekday, you're never going to forget the Shabbos. Friday afternoon, everybody's cooking. So therefore, it's only when Friday is Yontif and you're so busy cooking for Yontif, you may forget the Shabbos. And therefore, when you make Ukishim Arev Erev Tavshilin, so now when you make an Erev Tavshilin or Erev Yontif, oh, Nimsa Shizokhro, you're going to not forget the Shabbos, you remember it. Shari'in Osel, Amach Shabbos, why are you making the Erev Tavshilin? To remind you about Shabbos. So in this way, you fulfill this idea of not forgetting the Shabbos. That's the asmachta that Shmuel brings down from this pasuk, Zorch Yom Shabbos Lekacha. Where it says, my taima, why did the rabbi say you should do something like this? As Rashi says, lomatik nu erev, kro vaday lav be'erev mishtoy. That's not the simple understanding of the pasuk. As I said, it's an asmachta. It's not really darshining this in the pasuk. V'lav erev mishtamimine, v'asmachta be'amu. That's not really the drash of the pasuk. The rabbis use it as a very nice allusion to the idea that you shouldn't forget Shabbos, and therefore make an erev tashilin. V'chiyasa kra, the purpose of the pasuk is really the kiddush hayom also to teach us that you have to be mekadesh this Shabbos, which the rabbis learned out in Pesachim b'zochrei al yayin, that we go make kiddush ala kos. The erev midrabbanan umar olu sakin. So what was the purpose? My timer. Why did the rabbis institute this concept of the erev tavshilin? Technically, you can cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So Gemara says two reasons over here. The first one is Rava. Amar Rava, k'dei sheyivror mona yofel l'Shabbos u'mona yofel l'Yom Tov. You know what's going to happen? People tend to have, okay, we'll just have leftovers for Shabbos. And therefore, that's not right. You should have special, good, hot, good food for Shabbos. So therefore, in order to make sure that we don't negate the honor of Shabbos in any way, so make sure you make this Erev Tavshilin to remind you, make special, nice, good food for Yom Tov, but don't negate Shabbos. Don't neglect the Shabbos, and make sure that you have nice food for Shabbos. As Rashi says, Mitoh Shema Arev, since you make the Erev Tavshilin, Zochas HaShabbos, you'll remember to treat the Shabbos with the proper respect, Beinu Mechales HaKol Yom Tov, and you won't eat everything for Yom Tov. Ubor Emona Lezeh, Umona Lezeh. You'll have a nice food for Yom Tov, and you have nice food for Shabbos. That's Rava. Rav Ashi Omar, K'dei Shiomer, in order that people should say, Ein Ofi Miyontiv L'Shabbos, Kavachome Miyontiv L'Chol. If you have to make an Erev Tavshilin, because as great as Shabbos is, we still don't let you cook on Yontiv L'Shabbos, so therefore people will learn a Kavachomer, you can't go and cook on Yontiv, oh, I have a lot of free time, let me cook for the rest of the week, for the weekdays, L'Chol. So therefore, people will see, wow, Yontiv has to be treated with proper respect. If I can't even cook on Yontiv for Shabbos, without making an Erev Tavshilin, so I certainly can't cook on Yom Tov for the weekdays. So people, when they're off from work, won't say, well, listen, I'll cook up a storm for Yom Tov and I won't have to cook supper the rest of the week. So we have these two reasons, Rava and Rav Ashi. Gemara says, Tanan, our Mishnah, Osa Tavshil, Me'er Yontif, our Mishnah said that you have to make a Tavshil on Erev Yontif, the Erev Tavshilin, V'somech Alav L'Shabbos, and that will be used for Shabbos. Now, that works out very well according to Ravashi. Vishlam Ravashi, Dharma Kadesh Yom, Reino Fimi Yontif L'Shabbos, that comes to remind us, you're not allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, certainly you can't go cook, Kav L'Chomer, that you can't go cook from Yontif for a weekday. Hainu, then may Erev Yontif in, be Yontif Lo. That comes to tell us, you better go and prepare this on Erev Yontif, because you can't cook on Yontif for Shabbos, because you don't want to cook on Yontif for a weekday, and therefore we understand why you make the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yontif. Oh, Ravashi is fine. Hainu, the Me'er of Yontif in, be Yontif Lo. Very good. Elul Rava, according to Rava, the whole purpose of Rava is that you should have a special piece of food for Shabbos, Ma'er Me'er of Yontif. Why do you have to do this on Erev Yontif? Afilu be Yontif Nami. Why can't you cook a special piece on Yontif? You're allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, so why can't you make a special meal on Yontif for Shabbos? This way you won't forget Shabbos. So Rava seems to be not consistent with the Mishnah. Ravashi is, but not Rava. Rava says, no, Enochanami. You're right, you would be allowed to cook a nice special meal for Shabbos on Yontif, because Yontif is allowed to cook for Shabbos midoraisa. But you know what's going to happen? It's going to be 5 o'clock in the afternoon on an early Shabbos, and you say, whoops, we didn't cook anything for Shabbos. So therefore, if we make you go cook it on Erev Yontif, you won't forget. And therefore, that's why Rava says, yes, you technically could go cook something nice, a mona lezeh, on Yontif, but you may come to forget, and therefore go do it on Erev Yontif. And that's why Rava says, it says to go do the Erev Tavshil on Erev Yontif and not on Yontif. So it's Bishlomo L'Ravashi and Bishlomo L'Rava. The Gemara continues and now gives us a second Asmachta. We had Shmuel's Pasuk, Zoch Hashem HaShabbos L'Kadsho, and now we have a Tana Maisi L'Mihocha. We have another Braisa that tells us a different source for this custom of the Erev Tavshilin, the Asmachta. And this is an allusion from this Pasuk from Bishalach, where it tells us about the mon. And it says, Eish Aser Tofu Efu V'Eish Aser Tova Shlu Bashelu. When you go and take the mon, so you can bake it if you want, or you can go and cook it. Now, Mikan Omar. Now, the Girsa that we have is Rabbi Elazar, but it says in the Sars it should be Rabbi Eliezer. And he said as follows, Ein Ofin Elo Al Ha'ofui, Ve'ein Mivashlin El Al Vushal. This comes as an asmachta to the idea that you're not allowed to go bake on Yontif for Shabbos, you're not allowed to go cook on Yontif for Shabbos, unless you made a special prepared meal beforehand, such as the Erev Tavshilin. Mikan Samchu Chachamli Erev Tavshilin in the Torah, that you can only bake if you're ready baked. You can only cook if you're ready cooked. And therefore, by making the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yontif, this is the Asmachta over here from this Pasuk in Bishalach. Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan learn in a Braisa, Maisa B'Rebbe Eliezer, Shaya Yoshe V'Dorish Kol Hayom Kula Bichus Yontif. One time Rebbe Eliezer was giving a shir on Yontif, and he was teaching everybody all the halachas of Yontif. How beautiful it is to learn the halachas Bismano, Kamanoa Dova Biito. No, he was giving a long shir. And in the middle of the shir, Yotso Kasvi Shona. No, a bunch of the students got up in the middle of the shir and left. It was Yontif. They went to eat the Yontif meal. So Amar Rileza says, Halalu Bali Pitosin. These people who left, they're very wealthy people, and they have a lot of food. Rashi explains, Bali Pitosin is Chovios Gdolos Hechinu Lahem. They had a tremendous amount of barrels of food for themselves. He calls this also anumlin, which is a yayin pilpulin of dvash. It's a sweetened, spicy wine. Umosach mishtos, and therefore they had lots of food. And lefichoch mi'aru loseis. They were very excited to go and eat their yontif meal, and they said, enough learning, let's go eat the yontif meal. Chomer, bali nefeshei, that these people were, you know, Gashmi's type of people, then again, Lishmor Torah. They weren't so interested in Torah. They're much more interested in the Kiddush. So when they left early, so Rabbi Eliezer said, no, they have lots of food. No, the second group, when they left a little bit later, Kashnia, they got up and left the shir. Omar, halolu, bali chovios. He said, these people don't have as much food as the bali pitosin. They have barrels of food, not the huge barrels of food, not chovios gedolos like pitosin, but the next group had just regular barrels of food and drink. In other words, they also were Gashmi's people, and that's why they left. When the third group of people got up and left, Kashlishes, Shabeleza said, Amar halolu bali kadin. These people don't have as much food as the earlier groups, they only have kadin, they have jugs of wine. Next group left after even longer, Kasravias, so he said, Amar, these people don't have a lot more either. Amar halolu bali luginin. These people only have smaller jugs of wine. And Then Kas Chamishas, the fifth group left, he said, these people don't even have bottles of wine. Amar Halolu Bali Kosis, they just have cups of wine. In other words, Rabbi Elazar was saying, all of these groups, they didn't really have an interest in the shir, they just were interested in going home and having their kiddush, going home and eating. And each of them left when it was the time, so to say, for the amount of food that they had to leave the shir. Now, Hischilu Kashishis Lotzeis, the final sixth group was getting up. There's still some people left behind besides them. The sixth group is getting up. So Amar, so Rabbi Elazar said, Halalu Bali Me'era. These people are cursed. They're even worse than the others because they obviously have very, very little food and they are not doing either Chetzi Lochem or Chetzi Lashem. So this is the way the Mefarshim understand this. Rabbi Elazar was upset at all of them. He said, granted, if you want to go and leave the shir because you have great food, okay, I understand the first groups. But the sixth group, you don't have a lot of food to eat. You don't even have kosos of wine. So why are you leaving? You might as well stay in the shir. So that's why he got mostly upset at the sixth group. Now, the people that remained behind, he gave them a look. Nasa native of Tamidim, the ones that stayed behind, Rulezer gave them a look. And they got, oh, what's he going to say about us? Now, they misunderstood. The Mefarshim explained, they misunderstood, and since he was upset at the group that just left, they thought mistakenly that he was upset at them for not going sooner so they could have Simchas Yontif. So the group that stayed behind, they thought he was really going to be upset at them, that they hadn't even yet left, and they were giving up on Simchas Yontif. That's why the Mefarshim understand this. So that's why they got scared. Hischilu Pnei Mishtadin. So Rabbi Elazar tells him, no, Amalhem, no, you are wonderful. Banai, lo lechem ani yameh, I'm not upset at you at all. I was only upset at the earlier groups, Elala Halalu, Shiyatsu, all the groups that left, not only the last group. The last group that left, the sixth group that left, I was most upset at them because they had nothing to go for, and yet they didn't stay in and learn. But all the other groups that left, they were going for their own personal benefit so they could eat. Sheminichim Chaya Olam, Va'oskim Chayisha. They were giving up the eternal Torah, the eternal life that you're going to get from learning Torah, and no, they're going to have a good meal, what's called Chayisha. As Rashi says, Suda. They're all leaving the shir for going for a meal. That's not right. He's supposed to learn. Bishas p'tirasa, no, he finally finishes the shir. And Amalem, he tells the Tamidim, now, quoting the pasuk from Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is not a sefer by itself, as we pointed out many times. It's really part of Ezra. And it's interesting. I'm dictating this on Matzei Rosh Hashanah, so it's a chance again for me to wish everybody a good Gebench Jar. I hope everybody had a wonderful Rosh Hashanah. But this pasuk is one of the sources for the customs that many people have in terms of eating the various simonim, the famous sugya of simonim milsehi, and people eat basar shamein, for example, that's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, based upon this pasuk in Ezra / Nehemiah, where it says that the Navi told the people, l'chu ichlu mashmanim ushesu mamtakim, go home and give to each other all these mashmanim is basar shamein, and the wine, the delicious, sweet drinks. V'shulchu manos la'ein nachon lo. This is the connection to our Gemara. And if somebody didn't make an Erev Tashilin, so go send them food, so they'll have food on Rosh Hashanah. Ki kadosh yom ladoneinu, because this is a great day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'al teyatsu, don't be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem, because the joy of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will be ma'uschem. That will be your collateral that you'll rely upon Hashem to go pay back the debts when you go borrow money to honor the Yontif and honor Shabbos. Now, that's what Rabbi Elazar told the Talmidim. Now let's go and look at this a little bit more in detail. First, Amar Mar, we quote the part where Rabbi Elazar told the Talmidim, I'm upset that the ones that left earlier, Sheminich and Chai Olam, Pa'oskim Chai Shah, instead of staying here and learning the eternal Torah and getting unbelievable reward, they went to go get a meal, to have some chalent, to have a nice meal. That's a terrible reason to go leave the shir, to give up Chai Olam for Chai Shah. Chazal says, why did they do something so terrible? Simchas Yontif mitzvah. They were going to do a mitzvah. You're supposed to have a nice meal on Yontif. Why was Rabbi Eliezer so upset that they were eating a nice meal? So Gemara says, because Rabbi Eliezer l'taimei. There's a famous machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. What is the mitzvah of the day on Yontif? So Rabbi Eliezer l'taimei, he holds the Yomar Simchas Yontif Rishus. He says, Simchas Yontif is not an obligation. If you're not learning, then you have a mitzvah to go and eat a beautiful meal. But ideally, if you can spend all your day learning, that's what you should do. So Rabbi Elazar was upset at them that they didn't spend their whole day learning. Instead, they were running off to the Kiddush, running off to their Seuda. And what is this machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua? We learn in the following brisa, the Tanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein lo liyodim biyontif. A person on Yontif should pick one of the two routes. Ela o'ochel v'shoseh, or Yoshi Vishone. Pick one of the two routes. If you're capable of sitting and learning all day, you should sit and learn all day. If you're not, so then, okay, do Ochel Vishose. Then go and sit and eat and pleasure yourself. Because if you're not going to sit and learn, so at least do the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. But it's not intrinsically that you're required to do that. It's only really if you can't learn. And he says, the ideal way, these people, they gave up Chai Olam to do Chai Isha. You shouldn't do that if you're able to do Chai Olam. That's Rebbe Eliezer, Litai Mei. As opposed to Yeshua, he says, no, Yeshua Mer Chalkeyu, God wants you to enjoy the Gashmias in addition to the Ruchnias. Chalkeyu. You divide up the day of Yom Tov. Lav Dafka 50-50, you divide it up. Each person according to the way you can divide it up. Chetzi L'Hashem, Chetzi L'Chem. Half of it you spend serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you daven, you learn, and then Chetzi L'Chem, you have a beautiful Suda on Yom Tov. So you do both. That's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Rabbi Lezer held. No, you only do one of the two, and learning would be preferable. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the source for both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua? It's the same pasuk. Ushtam mikra echo darshu. They both darshin their respective shitas from the same pasuk, or the same two pasukim. Because of echo omer, one pasuk says the atzeres is Lashem Elokecha. The atzeres should be a day for Hashem. The Yontif should be a day for Hashem. The other pasuk says, because of Echad Omer, Atzeres the Elohim. No, the Atzeres is for you. So which one is it? This Atzeres, Shemini Atzeres, is what they're referring to in the latter pasuk. So the first pasuk was referring to actually the last day of Pesach. But the idea is the same. One place it says that Yontif is for Hashem, and one place it says that Yontif is for you. So how do you seemingly reconcile these different psukim that seem to be saying totally different things? So Rabbi Lezer was reconciling it his way, and Rabbi Yeshua was reconciling it his way. Rabbi Lezer saw bar okul Hashem, okul Lachem. You have a choice. Do one of the two. If you're capable of doing it, kul Hashem, so then that's what you should do. If you're not, then you can do kul Lachem. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, half and half. Rabbi Yeshua saw bar chalkeyu, split it in half. Chetzel Hashem, do half of it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the davening and the learning, the Chetzel Lachem, then have a nice suda afterwards and spend time with the family. So that's Lishitasam. Each of them darshan these two psukim that seem to be in contradiction to each other. Each of them darshan them for their respective shitas. Rabbi Lezer, either all for you or all for Hashem. And Yeshua said, Chalkeyu, half for you and half for Hashem. Now, let's go back to the pasuk from Nehemiah that we brought down, where it said, Vishulchu manos li'ein nochon lo. So what does it mean? My li'ein nochon lo, for somebody that wasn't prepared. So here we have the Erev Tavshilin concept. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, what the Navi was telling them was, if you know someone didn't prepare an Erev Tavshilin, so send them food, because otherwise you won't have food. Shulchu manos lein nochelo. Go and send food to somebody that didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. That's what Rav Chisda said the pasuk means. That's the first version. Eka di Amre, the second version is, Mi shelo hoya lo lehaniach Erev Tavshilin. If somebody was incapable, he was ones, Rashi says, he had lost something, for example, he lost his cow, and all Erev Yontif, he's looking for his cow, because he couldn't look for it on Yontif, so he spent all day Erev Yontif looking for it, and therefore couldn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Such a person, shulchu manos li'en nochelo, because this person, Nebuch, was an ones, and he wasn't able to do it. However, Abu Misha Hayalo Laniach Erev Tavshilin. Here's a guy. He had plenty of time to go make an Erev Tavshilin. Velo Iniach. He forgot. He didn't do it. He was lazy. Whatever. Posheyahu. Such a person is a Posheya. And you don't have to go and help such a person out. That you're allowed to. It's not Osir. But that's not what the Navi was telling them. The Navi was telling them, if somebody, Nebuch, was an Ones, and he couldn't make an Erev Tavshilin, Shilchu Manos Lei Nochelo. But if somebody wasn't an Ones, so you're not obligated to go. If you want to, you can. But you're not. It's not a special mitzvah, an exhortation from the Navi to go help the guy out. Continuing in that pasuk from Nehemiah, the pasuk said, Va'al Teotzvu, don't be sad, Ki Chedvas Hashem Hi. This is a way to be happy with Hashem. Why is that? Because he ma'uschem, because Hashem will be your collateral. Now, what does that mean? So Gemara says, "Mai ki chedvas Hashem he ma'uschem." So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. So the gears that we have is Rabbi Yochanan saying in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. But we find throughout Shas that the editors of the Gemara were not necessarily Tamidei Chachamim, and they sometimes made mistakes. And throughout Shas, this should be Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. We had this a number of times recently where the Girsa was Rabbi Eliezer, but it's really Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. In any event, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Elazar Rav Shimon, Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klai Yisrael, Banai, my children, Livu Alai, V'katshu Kiddush HaSayom. Go and borrow money in order to make a beautiful Shabbos, a beautiful Yom Tov. In other words, you should go and borrow, and I'll pay you back. Don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He Moschem. God will make sure, if you're borrowing for this purpose of making a beautiful Shabbos, a Yom Tov, God will make sure that you can pay it back. You trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He will make sure that you'll be able to pay it back. That's what it means. Banai, my children, levu alai. Vikachu Kedushas HaYom, make the Yom Tov or the Shabbos special and rely upon me to go pay back your loans. Now, Tosfos asks a very interesting question. What do you do with the famous Gemara in Psachim where Rabbi Akiva said, Asei Shabbat Chachol, lo titztarech lebrios? He said that don't go and borrow money. Better that you have peanut butter on Shabbos and not have beautiful steaks and chicken and fish and all good things, because you have to get stocker for them. So how do you reconcile that statement, Asei Shabbat Chachol, v'yach titztarech lebrios, rather than beg people to help you out with the idea here that you have to borrow? So Tosfos says, no, there's a difference between borrowing and getting it for free. So to go and take tzedakah, so then it's better. No, I say Shabbat Chachol. But on the side, it brings down. If a person has collaterals, yesh lo mashkonos, kidei lefroa, and people will be more than happy to lend him money. He has lots of property or lots of metalpolin that are worth money. He just doesn't have cash. So in that situation, go borrow against your collateral, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that, don't worry, you'll be able to pay it back. But if a person's really an ani, he's impoverished, and he'd have to take money not as a loan, but as tzedakah, so then, better, Asei Shabbat Chachol. So that's the difference between the two. Mark continues, says another member, the Amr of Yochim Mishum, again, Rabbi Eliezer Rav Shimon, Rabbi Lozer Rav Shimon, Harotzer, she is Kai Munichos. If a person wants to make sure that his properties don't go and get destroyed, so what you should do to protect your property, so he says, Yita Bohen Eder. Go and plant an Eder tree around your property. Rashi explains that an Eder is Ilon Choshevu, Yeshlo Shem Lemerechok. People know, oh, that guy has an Eder tree. So this is a famous tree that's on this guy's property. And everybody's going to say, oh, so-and-so, Omer and Ploni, Yeshlo Eder, Besodeo. People are going to say, oh, you know, Yankul's Eder tree. Oh, Yankul's Eder tree. So everybody's going to know that that's Yanko's property. Oh, Yanko's Eder tree. Yanko's Eder tree. And therefore, if he goes, he goes off on a business trip and somebody else tries to chop his land by making chazaka, right? We have the whole Cheskes Abatim discussion. If a person lives on the land for more than 3 years and nobody's complaining about it, so that's default that he must be the owner. But no, if everybody knows this is Yanko's property because he has this tree there, so even if Ba'achev Hirzik Ba, then he's not going to have to prove that it was his. Everybody's going, yeah, that's Yankel's tree. That's Yankel's Eder tree. And if Yankel sold it, everybody would now say, oh, it's no longer Yankel's Eder tree. It's now Shimon's Eder tree. And therefore, it must be a great way to protect your property by planting this Eder tree. That's the pshat that Rashi gives over here. In a moment, we'll give an additional pshat to this, but let's continue in the Gemara. So, Rav Yochanan said in the name of Elazar of Shimon, that if you want to make sure that your properties don't get stolen by somebody else, plant these Eder trees. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Adir b'marom Hashem, it's a play on the word Adir. And in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, will protect your property. As Rashi explains, Klomar she'eder is a loshun kiyum, the chozek, l'kach nichra eder. That's from Adir b'marom Hashem. God will make sure that your property is protected by planting this Eder tree. Alternatively, the drash is inami idra kishme, that you dash in the word kishme. As Rashi says, kamoshim afarshim bnei adam eshemo. What do people say the word eder means? Inami idra kishme, which means kidamri inches. The popular aphorism among people is, my idra, what does idra mean? The kaima, the dore, dori. It means something that will last for many generations. Mistam, for the same reasons that we said before, it'd be hard to steal this property. And we have a brisa that says the exact same thing, Tani Nami Hochi. The brisa says the same thing that Rav Yochanan said, name of Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Sode sheyesh bo eder, a field that has an eder tree planted in it, ain't an exelus, ain't an echmesis. It's not going to be easily stolen, it's not going to be easily grabbed by somebody and paid for. Chamsen is somebody who grabs something and pays for it. Kineva, or an exelus, is somebody just steals it. And likewise, the fruits are going to be preserved, and they're not going to be able to be stolen from you. So Rashi says, Lo yadana mai. I don't understand exactly why the fruits are going to be preserved over here. And then he gives two pshatim, one his own and one from his rabbeim. So the first one, he says, Yeshua farshim, I heard from my rabbeim, shenotin oso al hagvulin, that you go plant this Eder tree at the Gvulin, Vieshla Anofim Harbe, and has lots of leaves and it's lots of branches. Bhu Lesoda Legader, and it's going to end up being a fence around your field, and therefore it's going to be hard for people to come in and steal your fruits. But he says, on my own, the Linira, Shumin Esev Choshuv, it's a certain type of grass, an important type of a grass, Bizarro Misariv Imaperos, and this grass mixes somehow with the fruits. Ubisoda Lovon Kama, we're dealing here with a certain type of a field. And this type of a grass and this type of a field will protect all of the grain there from the various insects and other parasites. Shereach oso zera, they'll smell the zera over here. Mavrichin, it will cause them to go away. It's like an insect repellent. Vargono will kill them. And therefore, that's how you protect your field. Uperoseya mishtarme, and they won't go and eat the fruits. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tani Rav Tachlifa, Achud Rabbanoi Chazor, Rabbi Tachlifa, who was the brother of Rabbanoi Chazor, came from a certain place, said the following brisa. We turn to Tezayin Amud Aleph. Kol Mizonosav Shalodom Kitzuvim Lo, May Rosh Hashanah, Yad Yom Kippurim. How appropriate it is to learn this right after Rosh Hashanah, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And the gears that we have is that a person's Parnasa is designated during the period of time of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. In other words, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, either on Rosh Hashanah for Tzadikim, for the Beinonim, up until Yom Kippur. So a person, how much Parnasa they're going to make is designated for each person during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. May Rosh Hashanah be Ad Yom Kippurim. That's the gears that we have. Others have the gears of May Rosh Hashanah Ad Rosh Hashanah. That how much you're going to make for that fiscal year of Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have for Tav Shin Pei Beis, how much you're going to make was designated yesterday, today, on Rosh Hashanah. Chutz, the only things that aren't included in this, mehotzah Shabbos, Shabbosos, vehotzahs Yom Tovim. The amount of money that you spend for extra delicacies and good food for Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's above and beyond your set salary. So a person's going to make X, but if he spends Y on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so his total compensation that Kosh Baruch will give him for the year will be X plus Y. If Y is a large number, it's going to be more. If Y is a small number, okay, it's going to be less, but it's going to be X plus Y. Likewise, included in this Y, the extra above and beyond the X that you're designated, Votzah is Bon of the Talmud Torah, tuition. So people complain about the high cost of tuition. They should know that that's outside your salary. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is going to be your salary, and then you have to go spend money on tuition, that's extra and above your salary. So a person shouldn't feel bad that he's spending money for Yontif, for Shabbos, or for tuition. Now, it doesn't mean you just go crazy and ignore the normal teva. You can't say, well, I'm gonna buy $100,000 every Shabbos. So you can't do something like that, but within the normal expenses for that person. So if you spend more on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and for Hotzah's Bono of the Talmud Torah to spend for your child, so in all of these things, you're gonna get repaid back separately above and beyond the regular salary. It's gonna be X plus Y. And therefore, if the Y is a small amount, you're only getting back a small amount. If the Y is a large amount, you get back a large amount. Shim pochas, pochas in lo, v'im hosif, mosif in lo. The amount that you spend on this is above and beyond the regular amount that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside for you. May Rosh Hashanah v'yad Yom HaKippurim. Or may Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah haba. So for that fiscal year. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick this Gemara up tomorrow, where we'll learn what is the source for this. Again, it's very, very appropriate for the week of Aseres Yimei Tshuva and the time that we just passed for Rosh Hashanah to discuss the pasuk of Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chageinu. We'll Mirtz Hashem darshan that tomorrow. Amar Rabbi Yavo. With this, we conclude today's shir. Again, I wish everybody a good Gibench Jor. We should all be Zocha to a Gemar Chasima Tova.